From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
The president has made clear and is the final word, obviously, and has been literally the final word in this regard. There will be no uranium enrichment. Now, if you're seeing reports about what the deal is, obviously that's incorrect.
That was State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce earlier today responding to reports that President Trump would allow Iran to keep enriched uranium for a peaceful nuclear program. Not going to happen. Welcome to this June 3rd edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Thanks for tuning in. Well, coming up,
the administration has qualified and quantified the fraud, waste, and abuse that they found in DOT. They're sending it to us to codify, and that's what we'll be doing with the rescissions package and the appropriations process. And so that's something we're very excited about.
That was House Speaker Mike Johnson earlier today. As Congress returns from its Memorial Day recess, House conservatives are ready to vote on the first of what they hope are several White House rescission proposals. The first one totaling $9.4 billion, which claws back funds allocated for NPR, PBS, and USAID. Georgia Congressman Andrew Clyde of the House Freedom Caucus joins us in just a moment. And while the House debates cuts and the One Big Beautiful Bill debuts in the Senate, war rages on in Eastern Europe. Ukraine's bold drone strike deep within inside Russia may have crippled Putin's air power, underscoring that despite President Trump's hopes for a peace deal, this conflict is far from over. North Carolina Congressman and former Army Special Forces Officer Pat Harrigan weighs in later on this edition of Washington Watch.
Let's be clear. Israel is not preventing Gazans from accessing humanitarian aid, and the IDF did not fire at civilians in or near aid distribution zones. It's clear that Hamas are trying their hardest to keep their own people, Gazans, away from the GHF distribution sites. They are trying their hardest. Why? Because that is their last hold on power.
That was David Mincer, spokesman for Israel's National Public Diplomacy Directorate. Unable to divert humanitarian aid for its terror machine, Hamas is scrambling to discredit the U.S.-Israeli relief effort, and much of the legacy media is echoing its false narrative. Carolyn Glick, international affairs advisor to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, joins us from Jerusalem. Reclaiming June for the family. As rainbow flags flutter across cities like Washington, D.C., Illinois Congresswoman Mary Miller, chair of the Congressional Family Caucus, says it's time to take June back for the family, and she'll tell us how. And by the way, here's one way to celebrate family this month. Take FRC's 21-day Family Bible Challenge. Beginning June the 11th, in just 10 to 15 minutes a day, your family can walk through the life of Christ in the book of Matthew with ready-made study guides, weekly discussion questions, and kid-friendly activities. So make June a special family month. Text Matthew to 67742 to take the challenge. That's Matthew to 67742. The White House has sent Congress its first rescission bill. It's a proposal to cancel funds that lawmakers have already appropriated. Now, this provision was created under Title 10 of the 1974 Congressional Budget and Impoundment Control Act. Now, rescission bills, like the reconciliation measure that we've been talking about for months, enjoy expedited treatment in the Senate and can pass with a simple majority vote, bypassing the 60-vote filibuster threshold. Now, this particular package that the White House has sent over today would authorize many of the House Freedom Caucus's DOGE spending cuts, like defunding NPR, PBS, and certain foreign aid packages. Well, yesterday, the House Freedom Caucus, urged House leadership to bring the bill immediately to the floor for a vote this week. Well, joining us now is Congressman Andrew Clyde, who represents Georgia's 9th Congressional District. He serves on both the Appropriations and Budget Committee, and he is a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Clyde, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks, Tony. Great to be with you.
And I assume you've gotten over the jet lag, just getting back from Israel.
Yes, I tell you what, 7 hours is a fair bit of jet lag, and it takes, I'm not quite used to that, but I think I'm over it by now.
I think this was your first trip, I read, to Israel, and I know you met with the prime minister and other officials. Before we jump into the rescission package, I just want to ask you, I know that the issue of Iran comes up, because every time he meets with anyone, that issue's top of concern for Israel. The President Trump, reiterating that Iran's not going to have the enriched uranium that they want to hold on to. That has to be good news to Israel, does it not?
Yes, I think so. Very much so, actually, because Iran cannot be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. They're a very strong sponsor of terrorism across the world, with at least three proxy terrorist organizations for which they're funding, that's coming against Israel. And so, that's good news for Israel. But, the Iranians are incredibly good negotiators and have in mind the destruction of Israel. And that can never be allowed to happen. And so we just have to keep that in mind in everything that in every negotiation that's going on with Iran. They do not need, nuclear power or nuclear in any way, shape or form. They have plenty of natural gas and everything else that they need to sustain Iran.
Now, yesterday, actually, your traveling partner, Congressman Marlon Stutzman, was on the program. We were discussing the same thing. My sense is, just in my conversations, and I'm going to actually have Carolyn Glick on a little bit later in the program, an advisor to President or to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, is that the Israelis are getting a little antsy about how long these negotiations are going on, because each day that this goes on, Iran gets closer to having the capacity to deliver a nuclear weapon.
That's correct. And, I think what we have seen time and time again is that Iran is of the mind to delay, delay, delay. If they can delay long enough where they feel that they have the potential to build a nuclear weapon, then they will have won. And we can't allow that. They'll be doing things behind the scenes that they will never admit. And we just have to understand that we need either something very concrete very quickly, or Iran will play the very long game and they'll achieve what they want to, and that can never be allowed to happen.
All right, Congressman Clyde, let's move back to rescissions. This is something that has to be music to the ears of the House Freedom Caucus, because we're now talking about cutting $9.4 billion in this first rescission package, which I think you hope is the first of many.
Yes, I believe it will be the first of many. I'm looking forward to it. But to defund NPR and the other public broadcasting station, I think is great, to eliminate much of the funding of USAID. In fact, I think USAID should pretty much be 90% put out of business. If you look and see what they're actually defunding, it's ludicrous that we as American taxpayers are spending money on things like continued Sesame Street in Iraq, or all these LGBTQ plus whatever alphabet you want to add programs across the world. That is not anything that our taxpayers want their money spent on. And so to eliminate these things in law through a rescissions package, I think is very important. And I believe this is going to be one of many to come. And I'm looking forward to all of them and approving all of them.
And this is in particularly important because not only is it clawing back, taking back money that's already been allocated, but it will also set the stage for the appropriations process that you're involved in now, because this is an annual process. People need to understand that money's allocated every year. But if you take money back that's already been allocated for these entities from last year, the last budget, then the likelihood is in this forthcoming budget, they're not going to be funded either.
That's correct. And I think what we have seen, the president's proposed budget is about $163 billion cut from the previous fiscal year budget, from FY25's budget. And I think that's a great place to start. But we need to be looking line by line at every solitary appropriation and saying, what can we, how can we make our government smaller and more efficient and cost less to the American taxpayer?
Now, the House Freedom Caucus is calling for quick movement on the rescission package. The Congress only has 45 days to deal with this once it comes from the White House. The Freedom Caucus is saying, hey, let's put it on the floor this week. Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, I would love to see it on the floor this week. I have not seen it on the schedule this week, but I heard that there's a potential that it will be on the schedule for next week. And that would be fine, too. But it has to be done and be done quickly in order to maintain its privilege in the Senate, which means that it can bypass the Senate filibuster, which is absolutely critical, because I don't think we're going to get any rescissions done if we have to rely on a Senate, if we have to pass the Senate filibuster. But because it only requires 51 votes in the Senate in order to get a vote in the Senate, then we have to act on this very, very quickly. And I think that, this week or next week would be sufficient, but it must be approved by the House and sent to the Senate so that the Senate can use its expedited procedures to approve it and send it back to the president for signature.
Hey, we have just a couple minutes left, Congressman Clyde. I want to ask you a question, because most conservatives do not go on to money committees. That's kind of it gives you a headache to have to go through all of this stuff. I mean, you're a veteran business owner, Second Amendment advocate. I mean, you could be on judiciary, on one of these other committees, but you've chosen to be on two budget related money committees. Why?
I'm a fiscal hawk. Yeah, I came to Washington, D.C., to balance our budget and to get our spending back in order and start reducing this massive $37 trillion debt that we have, which will eventually financially break our country. People don't seem to really believe or take into account the fact that our bond rating now has been reduced again, and that there's a potential that if we ever get to the point, and I think we will get to that point if we don't deal with this financial crisis that we're in literally this year. If we don't deal with this, there will come a point when the Treasury Department has a bond failure, a bond auction failure. And if that happens, then our country will be literally start down the slide of fiscal collapse. And that can never be allowed to happen. So, I campaigned on bringing fiscal responsibility back to our government. Congress has not shown that in at least a couple of decades. And so if we don't, we're going to be in very, very dire straits. We could very well lose our status, our country status as the world reserve currency. And that would be another financial blow to our country.
And it's a moral issue as well. As conservatives, Christian conservatives don't always think about it that way. But when you're putting debt onto future generations, and the scripture speaks very clearly about the borrower being servant to the lender, and that's what we've set up as a nation. Yeah. Congressman, always great to see you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Thank you, Tony. Great to be with you on Washington Watch.
All right. Congressman Andrew Clyde of Georgia. You know, that's another thing to be praying about is the finances. We're bumping up to $37 trillion in debt. Debt, that's not the deficit. The deficit is what we run each year, which is going to be probably $2 trillion this year. We need to pray about that. All right, don't go away. More Washington Watch straight ahead. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins, and we're here in Jerusalem, the city of King David. And I'm excited to announce the launch of our Family Bible Challenge to read through the Gospel of Matthew. Now, this 21-day challenge begins on June the 11th, and it's a part of our Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. It's in bite-sized readings. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes a day, and we provide a toolbox full of resources to help you along the journey, including a study guide titled Matthew, the King and His Kingdom. We also provide downloadable resources such as age-appropriate questions to engage children. And we have a variety of family-friendly projects, as well as this. Listen, a coloring book, coloring pages about the life of Jesus for the younger kids and your grandkids.
Think about it. What could be a better summer activity than to go on a journey through the life of Jesus as a family? Just think what God could do in the lives of your loved ones as they read Matthew. Unforgettable stories about the greater Son of David, Jesus the Messiah. I hope you'll join us for our Family Bible Challenge beginning June the 11th. Text the word Matthew to 67742. I hope you'll join us.
In a time when Washington seems clouded by compromise, a bold group of lawmakers are standing firm in defense of the values which our nation was built upon. At FRC Action's 100% Awards, 171 members of Congress were honored for voting 100% in line with policies that promote faith, family, and freedom.
Faith and family made our country, it's the foundation that made our country not only great, but good.
The values that make America, faith, family, hard work, personal responsibility. I mean, that to me is the heart of FRC, and grateful for everything that they do.
It's very important for us to have organizations such as FRC. First of all, I think it keeps us grounded. In addition to which, the issues that you champion are issues that we should all be championing.
FRC is very, very good at honing in on those things that really affect Christians' lives. Also, working with members of Congress, too, to make sure that those values are instilled in the legislation that we create.
Having the Family Research Council to guide us is critically important to being able to do the right thing consistently.
These lawmakers have drawn the line, not just in policy, but in principle. This is more than politics. This is conviction in action. Visit frcaction.org for more information on how you too can make a difference.
All right, welcome back to Washington Watch. All right, as we were coming up to break, I said we need to pray about the debt, but we also need to act on it. We need to elect people like Andrew Clyde and others who understand the significance of the debt that we have, and then we've got to get rid of it. So we need to pray and we need to act. And by the way, I think those who are praying for me, I've lost my voice last week, been recovering from that, and not only were folks praying for me, but someone actually sent me some throat coat tea and some lozenges. So thank you for not only praying, but acting. All right. Yesterday, Russian Security Council Deputy Chairman Dmitry Medvedev said peace talks between Russia and Ukraine are meant to ensure his nation's swift victory. Now, posting on Telegram, he further stated that the peace talks in Istanbul are for ensuring the complete destruction of the neo-Nazi regime. Now, these comments follow the weekend Ukrainian drone attack deep into Russian territory that dealt a massive blow to Russia's defense capabilities. So what does all this mean for the war at large? Well, here to discuss this and more, Congressman Pat Harrigan, who serves on both the House Armed Services Committee and the Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. He is also a combat decorated Green Beret. He represents the 10th Congressional District of North Carolina. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
Tony, it's great to be with you again. Great to see you, too.
Let me ask you this. My take in looking at the situation there between Russia and Ukraine. Now, the president, President Trump, hoping to get a peace deal negotiated there. But it doesn't look like Ukraine is out of this. When they're able to pull off what they did using the new technologies to go deep into Russian territory and eliminate a good chunk of their air capacity, this thing could go on for a while. What do you think?
Well, Tony, I don't think any country's out of it when they resort to unconventional warfare. You know, you mentioned I was a Green Beret. We are experts in unconventional warfare, and that is, by definition, exactly what this attack was. It was very unconventional. It was novel. And one of the kind of key points and perspectives of unconventional warfare is it's usually how you actually win the economics of conflict. Ukraine sent 117 fully AI-driven autonomous drones into Russia at a total expense of about $110,000. And they inflicted over $7 billion worth of damage on Russia, taking out over 30% of its nuclear delivery fleet, long-range strategic bombers. This is absolutely unprecedented and certainly is the type of tactics that Ukraine needs to employ if they are going to stay in this fight over the long haul.
Now, you have actually advocated that the United States needs to rethink how we are doing warfare in this 21st century and the use of technology.
Absolutely. I have said for my entire time up here that what we're doing fundamentally supporting Ukraine by shooting million-dollar missiles at $50,000 Russian drones is not only not allowing us to not win the war in Ukraine because we're losing the economics of it, it's also just adding to our national debt. And certainly that's a topic that we all need to be concerned about. And so we have got to figure out how we get our defense industrial base to make the low-cost solutions to our enemy's high-cost problems, not the other way around as it has been for the last 30 years where we have not won our wars. And we have to change that paradigm if we're going to properly deter or defeat China in the future. So I'm doing a ton of work to try to make sure that we start winning the economics of our conflicts again. And if we do that, Tony, the most important thing is we actually won't fight our next conflict because our enemy knows that we can win the economics of it.
Well, let me ask you a controversial question, Congressman. So is it the military-industrial complex that's driving our technology because it's expensive and they make money off of it?
It doesn't intentionally start out that way, but that's what it's become. And I think we've all got to understand and heed the warning of President Eisenhower. There is a military industrial and there is also a congressional complex. We have to understand that a good part of this is we have parochial concerns that affect every single congressional district across the United States. And when that particular congressman or congresswoman fights for what is being produced inside of their district, oftentimes the wrong decisions are ultimately made on what investments we should be making. That is why I've been a huge proponent and been very involved with the Secretary of the Army and the Chief of Staff of the Army in creating Army Transformation Initiative and making sure that that is allowed to occur and it actually proliferates not just through the Army, but also to our Air Force, to our Navy. And what Army Transformation Initiative is, it's a voluntary cut of legacy weapon systems for structures in contracting mechanisms that have not helped us win the last 30 years of conflict and are not relevant to us deterring or defeating China in the future. We have to invest in new technologies that are relevant to the future fight because as we've seen just over the last couple of days, in Ukraine, war is fundamentally changing.
Let me go back. We've got about a minute and a half left, Congressman Harrigan. Let me go back to Ukraine. And as you pointed out, about $110,000 in what it cost them to, on the drones, their technology, compared to what the damage they inflicted. Was that in part, they've been planning this for about a year, I understand, from the reports I've read. Was this in part because they had to rely on their own ingenuity and what resources they had, knowing that America was withdrawing, so they were more creative?
Yes, and they've been more creative since we have signaled uncertainty towards them, which is exactly what they should be doing, right? They've got to worry about their strategic interests. We need to worry about ours. And our strategic interest is bifurcating the relationship that exists between Russia and China, making sure that they cannot mass military force in multiple different places around the globe at the same time in a connected way. Ukraine is doing what is in its long-term strategic interest right now, which is expelling Russia or attempting to expel Russia outside of its territorial borders. We should expect them to do that. We just also need to act in our strategic interests as well. That's what I've been trying to get people up here to understand. Those two things are very different. They are not the same.
And costly if we don't get it right. Congressman, always great to see you. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today on Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, more to pray about when we see what's happening all across the country. All right, coming up next, June. You know, it's been known as Pride Month. Well, some want to take it back for the family. We're going to talk about that next.
The Center for Biblical Worldview's all-day workshops delves into the formation of a worldview, what it is, how it's formed, when it's formed, what that means to them personally and their churches and communities.
My hope for people when they come to these worldview workshops is that they will come away better equipped to engage the people and the ideas that they're living with and around. And our goal is to give people more confidence in the gospel, in the fact that what God said to us actually is true, actually is the path to happiness and human flourishing for all of us, but also more confidence in their ability to have these conversations and help lead other people to the truth.
For Bible-believing Christians to know what God's Word says on these issues and to learn how they can apply it to their lives. And we believe that the more Christians that we equip, that's how we'll change the nation.
Hey fam, listen, Pastor Sammy here at Lighthouse Church, and I cannot tell you how equipping, how empowering, how incredibly educating this conference has been. And so I just want to encourage anybody that either has not been part of or is thinking about hosting this event, certainly to pastors, leaders, even CEOs for that matter, this conference is lights out. Stand behind it myself. I can't commend it enough. We're going to be talking about this for some time to come.
The culture is kind of squeezing in on us as God's people, forcing those of us with biblical views to change those views or to suppress those views. It's forcing us to engage with issues that we've never had to engage with. And so what this teaches us is what those issues are, what the Bible says about those issues, and then how we can critically engage our culture on these things in a way that is committed to biblical principle.
Visit frc.org/worldview for more information.
This is Washington Watch. Thanks so much for tuning in. The website, tonyperkins.com. Better yet, get the Stand Firm app, and you can have Washington Watch with you no matter where you go. You also will have access to the Washington Stand, our news and commentary from a biblical perspective. Well, after years of cultural dominance, the momentum of the Pride movement appears to be slowing down a bit. It seems people have finally had enough of radical ideology of the LGBT community being forced on them. And major corporations are catching on, and some are quietly backing away from the rainbow-cloaked activism. So what will fill the void? Well, early today on Capitol Hill, Congresswoman Mary Miller introduced a resolution declaring this month as Family Month as a part of her effort to reclaim the first month of summer away from the radical LGBT mob. And I should mention, FRC, along with several allied organizations, has publicly supported this measure. And here to share more is Congresswoman Miller. She chairs the Congressional Family Caucus. She is also a member of the House Agricultural Committee, as well as the Education and Workforce Committee. She represents the 15th Congressional District of Illinois, and she is a grandmother of how many?
23 now.
Okay, it keeps going up every time I talk to you. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What a wonderful motivation to have 23 grandkids behind you as you advocate for family on Capitol Hill.
Yes, well, family was God's plan and his ways are perfect. That's what it says in Psalm 18. And sadly, the left hijacked June to, cause gender confusion, and basically to give license for individuals to be indecent in public. And, I'm taking it back for the American family.
So I know that you are not a stranger to push back from the left, because you step right into the arena and you do so with confidence, with clarity, and with compassion, I should say. Do you expect to get pushback on this?
I do, but I always think people are where they are, and we want to lay out for them that God's ways are perfect. And so we want to make getting married and having children a beautiful thing. And you know, the consequences of promoting this and the Biden administration spending 4 years promoting this kind of indecent pride stuff is that young people don't want to get married. The birth rate is dropping. And, you know, we need to exalt the family to the place that it needs to be. It was faith and family that built our country.
Well, the social sciences show us that this is true. And I'm talking about the secular sciences that will look at this objectively, show that, you know, if you will finish school, get married, and have children in that order, the chances of that child being in poverty are almost nil. I mean, if you do things, as you said, by God's design, it's amazing. It works out.
Right. And we need to promote that. And that's why reclaiming June for family, to celebrate the family, it's unifying, it's positive. And I think people are really done with the Pride Month. I don't know how they ever got an entire month. But it's also grooming our children. It's really offensive. I sent one of my staff a picture a couple weeks ago, and I said, well, it's that time of year again where people come out to the street and are basically decadent, and that's not the culture we want. And I do want to say, wherever people are, you know, whatever lifestyle they've been caught up in, is God is a God that redeems the past. And I think we need to say, this is the best way, this is the ideal, and we need to be unashamed of standing for traditional marriage and encouraging people to have children.
Well, Mary, and I think it's important, as Jesus himself said, you know, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And yes, if we won't speak the truth, and the Bible is very clear, as you pointed out earlier, on marriage, on human sexuality. And, you know, we are to speak that truth, speak it in love, but we speak it so that people might experience the freedom that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And if we're, what's happened, I think, in the last several decades, really 3 or 4 decades, is that with this massive push by the LGBTQ community, so many Christians have gone silent. This is a time to recapture our voice for the purpose of reclaiming freedom for all people.
Absolutely. And I think it's because generally Christians really care about people and they don't want to hurt people's feelings. But going along with a lie is not loving a person. And so we do need to speak the truth. And there again, I want to say God's ways are perfect. He's the one that designed marriage to be between a man and a woman, committed to each other for life and welcoming children. And you know, I know from having 7 children, it's a lot of work, but things that are valuable cost more.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But the value is eternal. Mary Miller, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. And once again, I want to thank you for your leadership on Capitol Hill.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Mary Miller. And so celebrate June as Family Month. That's, you know, people ask me, you know, all this stuff happening in Washington, you got to get frustrated. Well, actually, I get pretty encouraged when I see more and more men and women like Mary being called to Washington, D.C., and they're taking a bold stand. Now, we're not at the tipping point yet, but we're getting close. So keep praying, keep voting, and keep standing for truth. And by the way, before we go to the break, and coming up next, we're going to be joined by Carolyn Glick, international advisor to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But let me remind you, take the challenge, the 21-day Family Bible Challenge. Text Matthew to 67742 and join us in the month of June for the Family Challenge. All right, don't go away. We're back after this.
Jennifer, it's so exciting to be here with you today talking about our new book, Embracing God's Design. Who is actually going to benefit from reading this book in your view?
There are so many different audiences that can benefit. The first one are counselors themselves, right? Because we have some material in there where we really address the gender dysphoria diagnosis and what is wrong with it. We have information for people who are wanting to go back to embracing God's design for their life.
This is really magical to have the therapist and the individual who suffered come together and write about why this is happening and why we're seeing this.
And we brought all of that experience to the table. We want to see people walking in the fullness of who God has called them to be and not a false identity.
Order today at EmbraceTheDesign.com.
How should Christians think about the thorny issues shaping our culture? How should Christians address deceitful ideas like transgenderism, critical theory, or assisted suicide? How can Christians navigate raising children in a broken culture, the war on gender roles, or rebuilding our once great nation? Outstanding is a podcast from the Washington Stand dedicated to these critical conversations. Outstanding seeks to tear down what our corrupt culture lifts up, with an aim to take every thought and every idea captive to the obedience of Christ. Whether policies or partisan politics, whether conflict in America or conflict abroad, join us and our guests as we examine the headlines through the lens of Scripture and explore how Christians can faithfully exalt Christ in all of life. Follow Outstanding on your favorite podcast app and look for new episodes each week. How should Christians think about the thorny issues shaping our culture? How should Christians address deceitful ideas like transgenderism, critical theory, or assisted suicide? How can Christians navigate raising children in a broken culture, the war on gender roles, or rebuilding our once great nation? Outstanding is a podcast from the Washington Stand dedicated to these critical conversations. Outstanding seeks to tear down what our corrupt culture lifts up, with an aim to take every thought and every idea captive to the obedience of Christ. Whether policies or partisan politics, whether conflict in America or conflict abroad, join us and our guests as we examine the headlines through the lens of Scripture and explore how Christians can faithfully exalt Christ in all of life. Follow Outstanding on your favorite podcast app and look for new episodes each week.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Tuesday. All right, thousands have taken the challenge. Have you? That's FRC's 21-day Family Bible Reading Challenge starting June the 11th as a part of our Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. You and your family can actually walk together through the book of Matthew with a study guide, weekly discussion questions, kid-friendly activities, and much more. So, to join thousands of other families in taking the challenge to read the Word of God together, text the word Matthew to 67742. That's Matthew to 67742. Speaking of the Word, our word for today comes from Nehemiah chapter 8, where returned exiles gather in Jerusalem to hear the life-giving Scripture read. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and scribes and the Levites who instructed the people said, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said, "Go, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared, because this day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." You know, most listeners at that time were encountering the Word of God for the first time. They had no scrolls. The truth reached them only when someone read publicly. As the sentences rang out, conviction broke out in their hearts. Tears watered the parched soil of their hearts. Yet sorrow wasn't the last note. Ezra insisted on celebration and generosity because repentance opens the door to joy, and obedience turns grief into strength. That's the enduring power of God's holy word. To join us on our journey through the Bible, text Bible to 67742. Well, the American and the Israeli aid distribution system in Gaza is once more the target of controversy. Today, the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry claimed that Israeli soldiers fired upon Palestinian people seeking aid. They claimed that at least 27 people were killed. Now, this is the second day in a row that they've claimed violence surrounding distribution sites. Israel confirmed that the shots were fired by its military, but that these were warning shots toward individuals that were approaching the aid area from an undesignated route. Joining us now with more from Israel is Carolyn Glick, the International Affairs Advisor to Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. Carolyn was previously a senior contributing editor at the Jewish News Syndicate. Carolyn, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks so much for taking time to join us this evening.
It's always a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk to you, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's set the record straight. This is 2 days in a row we're getting this news. AP's reporting it, others saying that Israeli IDF soldiers have been firing on civilians surrounding the aid distribution.
Right. It's actually pretty telling and pretty distressing that these very major American news outlets are parroting repeatedly Hamas's propaganda, which is aimed towards preventing Israel from providing, or the United States, actually, with Israeli securing the environment for the United States to provide aid to Palestinians in Gaza against Hamas's wishes, because until now, Hamas has used the aid distribution networks of the UN to maintain its continuation of its regime and to maintain its chokehold on the Palestinians in Gaza. And now suddenly they've lost that, which is the one thing that has kept them in power the whole time. And they're doing everything that they possibly can to scuttle the program to prevent the people of Gaza from receiving the aid that that the international community wants to provide them with.
Well, the United Nations, one of the loudest critics of this new distribution system, says that this allows Israel to use aid as a weapon. But isn't that what Hamas was actually doing? I mean, in fact, there are reports from civilians in Gaza that have gotten aid from this new distribution system that were surprised they didn't have to pay for it.
Right, because the United Nations and Hamas have been operating hand in glove, essentially, since October 7th and really before that. And the UN has brought the aid in and has allowed Hamas to take control of all of it. And so, you know, there are these stores that the food has been hoarded in by Hamas, and they're controlled by the UN. So that the UN and Hamas basically together have been protecting Hamas's regime in Gaza, because Hamas takes this food aid, which is supposed to be distributed for free to the people of Gaza. It was donated by international organizations on behalf of the people of Gaza to give them food. And Hamas has stolen it and then sells it to the people of Gaza. So one of the most amazing things that we've seen since we started operating the Gaza Humanitarian Fund's aid distribution centers in Gaza is the response of the people of Gaza who received the aid. What, we don't have to pay for it? What, it's free? Are you serious? Because Hamas has been bilking them for all the funds and then using the funds that they've gotten, which is just net profit. They didn't pay for any of this food, but they just stole it, right? With UN green lighting the whole process. So you say, wait, we don't have to pay for it? No. So the money that they've been forced to pay Hamas has been maintaining their regime. That's the money that Hamas has used to recruit new terrorists to its terror army, because they have lots of cash. And they have lots of cash. They can bring in new terrorists to blow up Israeli soldiers, to threaten Israel, to maintain the war against Israel. So by enabling Hamas to keep control of the aid, the UN and Hamas have been working together to maintain Hamas's grip on power. And now the whole thing is being exposed. And so the UN is trying to demonize and delegitimize this effort. And Hamas is accusing Israel day after day after day of committing the crimes that Hamas itself is committing. And they've been shooting at people trying to get to the aid depots and trying to terrorize people and threaten people with execution if they dare to go and receive aid directly from the Gaza Humanitarian Fund that's being secured by the Israeli army. And they're accusing Israel of doing exactly what they've been doing, which is something that they've been doing all along. And it's working, like you said, because AP and Reuters and the BBC and NBC and CNN and ABC have all been promoting this false story that Hamas has created in order to maintain its regime by criminalizing Israel and Israeli and U.S. moves to seize control over the humanitarian aid from Hamas.
So Carolyn, given that background and how this aid has been used by Hamas, is it beyond Hamas to stage these violent incidents around these distribution sites to try and create this narrative for the media?
Of course it's not beyond Hamas. They did October 7th. Nothing is beyond Hamas. They have to forget, they have to remember, though, that, you know, Israel also has lots of cameras set up so that they can try to stage all they want. But eventually the truth will out, because Israel, our soldiers do not shoot at civilians, period. Obviously, when Israel has such an interest in getting this aid directly to the people of Gaza and to preventing Hamas from maintaining its murderous regime in Gaza and maintaining, obviously, their control over the hostages in Gaza, we want them all released. Israel has no interest whatsoever in harming the people of Gaza who are trying to reach the aid depots that Israel is securing. We want them to come. We're excited that it's working. They're opening up two more aid distribution centers tomorrow in Gaza. So, you know, this is in Israel's interest. This is in the people of Gaza's interest. The only forces that are being harmed by the Gaza humanitarian funds distribution of aid in Gaza are Hamas and apparently the United Nations.
Well, Ambassador Mike Huckabee, U.S. Ambassador Mike Huckabee to Israel, has been very critical about the U.S. media for promoting these false claims from Hamas as what he calls dangerous misinformation. I'm in agreement with him. I think this creates and foments a lot of the anti-Semitism that we're seeing around the world, and I think contributing to some of the violence we see here, even in our own country.
Look, when the United States media is accusing Israel of wantonly killing civilians who are trying to receive humanitarian aid, and there are people already with a predisposition to believe that, who have all along been supporting Hamas. Well, here, you know, you're watching CNN, and this is what CNN is doing. They're disseminating the blood libel, the complete slander that Hamas propagated in the morning. It's broadcast in CNN in a loop throughout the day. And you have people in the United States, unfortunately, who have been supporting Hamas all along, have believed all of the demonization of Israel that's been coming out of the media and other places like academia all along. And so they view this as a justification to murder innocent Jewish people in the United States, or anybody they think might be Jewish, or anybody else for that matter. Because if they believe that Israel is evil and that Hamas is the good guy and that Israel is doing these things, and CNN tells them that Israel is doing these things, then they feel justified. That's what happened in Washington, D.C. Right. with the terrorist who murdered two innocent people outside the Jewish Museum. And that's what is happening now in Boulder. We saw it. Yeah. They're repeating the lies. They're saying, you know, Israel is evil, free Gaza, whatever. It's all the same mantras. It's all the same demonization.
We've seen,
and they're hearing it on CNN.
We've seen this before. You know, we saw this 90 years ago. This is what happened in Europe. So it's repeating itself. And speaking of Europe, I want to turn to France, that is working to get the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Belgium to join and jointly recognize the state of Palestine later this month at a UN gathering, actually on the 17th. Of this month. And I want to quote from a French diplomat who made the statement anonymously, says the two-state solution is more necessary than ever, but it has been more undermined than ever due to the war, the displacement of Palestinians, and the violence of extremist settlers. I mean, I don't see how you can look at this, what has happened since October the 7th in Israel, and have such a diametrically opposed view as we see articulated here from this French diplomat. If a two-state solution were, in fact, a solution, why did we have October the 7th?
Precisely. I think you're exactly right. I mean, you have it exactly right, Tony, because, I mean, as Prime Minister Netanyahu has said, we had a de facto Palestinian state for 18 years. It was in Gaza. They had full control over Gaza. There were no Israeli military installations there. There were no Israeli civilians there. It was Judenrein, as they like to say. It was free of all Jews. There were no Jews in Gaza, not in the military, not in civilians. Everything was, we even exhumed the graves of Jews who were buried in Gaza when we left Gaza in 2005 and transferred the entire territory, lock, stock, and barrel, to the Palestinians. So they had a sovereign state, and the end state of that state was October 7th and the massacre of 1,200 Israelis through the most sadistic means anybody had ever seen. That's where you got to with a Palestinian state when the guiding ideology of all the major factions in Palestinian society is the annihilation of Israel. And so this is what we saw on October 7th. Supporting a Palestinian state under these circumstances means supporting what the people are screaming as they shoot at Jews or people they think are Jews throughout the world. They're saying that free Palestine, Palestine from the river to the sea, a Palestinian state is supposed to be there instead of the Jewish state, not to the side of the Jewish state. And that's what's so disturbing about what the French are doing, what they're trying to get the Canadians and the British to do here, is that they are justifying what Hamas did effectively. They want to give terrorism, not just Hamas. They want to give global terrorism, the global jihad, the biggest prize anybody ever gave, which is a state in areas controlled by the people that they're trying to annihilate. That's an amazing, horrible development. And the fact that it's happening now and that it's seemingly allied states like France that are leading the charges is really quite alarming.
This is, and
I don't know what it means about the nature of French politics, that this is what Macron finds, you know, is the right thing to be doing at this time.
Caroline, we just have a couple minutes left, but this is a new day when you have leaders like the French president calling for a two-state solution. This is not pre-October the 7th. And you spoke recently at the JNS first convention there in Jerusalem. I was there in Jerusalem when you spoke. And you've made very clear that this is the future of Israel is its sovereignty. And this idea of a two-state solution runs counter to that idea of the sovereignty of the Israeli people. In fact, Ron Dermer, the strategic affairs minister to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, threatened Britain and France that if they keep pushing down this path, Israel may annex more parts of Judea and Samaria. And so it doesn't appear that Israel is going to be passive in these calls for a Palestinian state.
No, I mean, we can't be. That's the thing. You know, we've sort of tried to, you know, not deal with this issue because it's been this consensus in Europe and in very large swaths of American public discourse that the two-state solution is the only proper, only possible path forward, when what we saw is that the two-state solution leads to a one-day genocide, and we can't have that ever happen again. And so, you know, for a long time, we were kind of, you know, going along to get along. But the Israeli people aren't going to allow for such a thing to happen. We don't unsee what we just saw. We can't. And we understand what's at stake here. And that's really, you know, what I think both Minister Dermer and other ministers in the government have made very clear with their opposition to a Palestinian state. I mean, it's clearly something that threatens the very existence of the state of Israel. And so just as we can't have an Iran armed with nuclear weapons, we can't have a Palestinian state.
Well, and I know we've had these conversations, Israel and the rest of the world have had these conversations for decades, but it's a different day. And I think the resolve is there on behalf of Israel to protect its future. And this is the only way forward. Carolyn, we're out of time. Always great to see you. Please tell the Prime Minister I said hello, and appreciate you coming on the program today.
Thanks very much for having me, Tony.
And folks, I do want to encourage you to pray for the peace of Israel and for this resolution of this whole situation there in Israel, and that America would have the right policies as it pertains to Israel. All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.